Hello, and welcome to Coffee to Close, where we talk to interesting people with passions and pursuits in and around Brisbane, California, that beautiful yet rowdy, fiercely independent town on the border of San Francisco. Our hope is that you will be inspired and that in the process, we will raise some money for our local nonprofits. Sit back and enjoy. I'm your host, Ron Davis. Okay, so today I am here with Dolores Gomez. Dolores Gomez was the town librarian for quite a while.
27 years.
And she helped write the book that's under the Images of America brand. And it is the book on Brisbane, which can be bought at Madhouse Coffee. It is an Arcadia publishing book. So, Dolores, why did you write the book?
I've just always been interested in history and been here since I was 10 years old. And my folks came here to fix a house or little place up for my grandmother to live up on Trinity and Humboldt. So while they were there, they got really friendly with the next door neighbor who became my godfather. And then in 1941, when the war started, he was sent to Belgium to show people how to load ships. And so he asked my folks if our family would move into his house to take care of it. And that's how we came to live in Brisbane. And that was right after the war. And so anyway, when we used to come down here and they were working on the house, I thought, oh my God, where did they bring us? Because I was used to sidewalks and cement in San Francisco. But I used to explore. I went all by myself. And I used to go way up in the hills up in, you know where Ron Colonna lives?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Way up there and where our Margaret Road. And I thought, oh my God, this is like a new country. It was all heavily wooded and it was just so pretty and quiet. And then I came upon this house. It was Mahaffey's house. It's the one that people call the mansion. It had pillars just like from Gone with the Wind. And there was a pony grazing the grass in the front. And I thought, oh my God, what is this? I really did. I was really so happy. And I thought, oh, yeah, this is a pretty nice place. But then when we moved here, I cried for about 2 months. I didn't like it. All my friends were gone. I was taken away. That's hard for a kid of 10 and 11 years old.
And where did you move from?
We lived in the Mission in San Francisco. I didn't know anyone here, but soon, you know, kids go to school and they adjust. It took me a long time to like it, and then things just went on from there.
What was your first remembrance of Visitation Avenue, of the main street? What was there?
You know what?
Take us for a walk up Visitation.
Okay. Half of it didn't have sidewalks. It had a lot of little rambling shacks, you know, where the big apartment is down there. They were all little tiny houses. There's still one left right by the senior apartments. And there were some great big trees. I think they called them pepper trees. And they were beautiful. They provided a lot of shade. And there were vacant lots on Visitation. The lots were vacant right up from where the Nana's Kitchen is now. There was a building that was called Phil's Fountain, which was torn down to make room for Ellison's apartment. But all that was vacant. And when we went to school, we had to take the bus. And so we waited in that vacant lot there. That's what I remember. But I remember that it didn't have a lot of sidewalks on Visitation, and I thought that was really odd, coming from San Francisco anyway.
Was the, what used to be the City Hall, was that there?
The old City Hall?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, at one time there was like, well, that was when they had tubes and radios. It was a radio store, and the library was where the pizza parlor is now. What is it? Mama's Pizza or something?
down towards the bottom, towards 23 Club, Mama Mia's.
And then we had the drugstore. I just wrote a little article on the drugstore. It was run by Gil Gilman, and some people here in Brisbane know his grandson, Willie Green. And it was a drugstore like I've never seen before. It was very messy. It had tables all over. You could find anything there, but it was hard because you had to ask him, and he knew where everything was. And then there was a fountain, and I was really intrigued by that. But the fountain was piled with all kinds of boxes in there. But I never saw anyone get a soda or a dish of ice cream there. And Gil was always there to help people and he would give you advice. And Dr. Gardino and Gil were really good friends. And Willie told me that they used to fight all the time because Dr. Gardino wanted to remind him, hey, I'm the doctor, not you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was before the City Hall was there in the building that's down there now, there was a theater there before?
Oh, across the street, yeah. That was a big thing. You know, that was our entertainment because a lot of people in Brisbane didn't have cars and we took the bus everywhere. If they had a car, it was usually one car. And the theater was open every day of the week. And on Saturday and Sunday, you know, they had double feature. They had dish night. They had spino night. They had entertainment night. And it was a focal point. And everybody just kind of met there and enjoyed going to the theater.
About how many people do you think were in Brisbane at that time?
You know, way back then, I think they really plumped up the population, but my guess, at years ago, when all the vacant lots and everything, I'll bet there was maybe 1,600 people at the most here. And at that time, you knew everybody's face if you didn't know who they were. If you didn't know their name, well, you knew the face and you always said hello. Now I go up the street and I see people I've never seen before.
How does that make you feel?
Well, you know what? As a kid, I just loved it because I felt safe and secure. And for example, one time I was walking by, it's the old house they're going to tear down next to where the library used to be at 250 Visitation. And the chief of police lived there. His name was Lou Terry. And I wanted a library card because I used to go to the library a lot. So I just walked by there and I said, Mr. Terry, can you sign my library card? He said, sure. And he signed it. And then later on, I thought he knew I was a responsible person or else he would have, you know, if I was overdue or late. So it was just things like that. People were really considerate of each other. They did a lot of nice things for each other. If someone was sick or something, you know, everybody pitched in.
I remember moving here in 1983, which was right after the storms of 82 when the mud came down the hill and the Cozy Cove flooded. And I moved in from the city. And an old guy across the street, Woody Black, came over and knocked on the door. And he said, I'm Woody Black. And that's my house over there. And that's my carport. And I have a bunch of tools in my carport. I have a... this and that, and a rotor tiller, and you're welcome to use anything. Just bring it back and put it back and don't break it.
Yeah.
And you can use it. And I was so blown away by that. I thought, where did I move? What place is this? It was like the 60s in the city, as far as the neighbors go, even though there's a whole lot more people in the city, at least the neighbors a few blocks in each direction, you knew, as a kid anyway, I knew who everybody was.
We never had locked our door, even after I was married and with the kids. Well, it was too hard to keep opening the door when you got all those kids and their friends coming in. So we just left it unlocked. The only time we locked it was when, I guess, we went to bed at night. But I was going to say something about, I worked at the Auto Court. They had a little store there. And by then, they didn't have the gas pump. But I worked at the store. And during the war, a lot of people came from out of state, and they brought their trailers, and they worked in the war industry. Some of them were big Uke truck drivers, and others worked at the shipyard. They were all good, hard-working folks. And then, maybe it'd be kind of interesting to tell people, one time this fella came in, and he had chaps, and his spurs were jingling, and it was, oh my gosh, now I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was a big-time star, but he was a real cowboy, and he was going over to the Cow Palace. And he had his horse tethered across the street from the motel, where the park is now. He left the horse tethered there all night, and he had a horse trailer, left it there. It was really something to see. But anyway, he went up and competed at the Cow Palace.
That's a funny story. I've seen horses around town, but one time I got in the line at the ATM at Bank of America, and somebody in front of me was on a horse getting money out of the ATM. Well, how times change.
Well, you know, when they used to have the Western Days parade, there was always a horse scooper at the end of the parade because a lot of horsemen associations used to come and enter their horses in the parade. Then there were single people who liked to compete in parades, and they always came too.
So when you put this book together, was there any particular story that you remember that stood out from the rest that was kind of like, this story needs to be told? From our historical past, this is important.
Yeah, I always had a place in my heart for Vera and Walter Blair, who started the Blair's Rangers. They lost their son in World War II. Walter Blair, the father, they called him Sarge Blair, he was a World War I veteran. And so he married Vera, who was a Russian war bride, and they had one son. But the son even volunteered in Canada to fly before even the war started. So anyway, he was lost in the European war. And so anyway, when they started the Rangers, it turned out to really be a wonderful thing because the kids that went in the Rangers, they were taught how to be real soldiers, how to take care of themselves, how to be independent. And it paid off because a lot of them went into Vietnam and Korean War. And there's a book where they all wrote their letters. And one even sent a pin from a grenade. I remember that. And they told Sarge and Vera how important it was because it saved their life. The training, how he trained them. He trained them just like real soldiers.
Didn't they run around up on San Bruno Mountain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to camp down where Crocker is now because it was just a field. Mm-hmm. And they had the water line, the Hetch Hetchy water line. That's the only thing that was there beside a lot of weeds. And the kids used to camp down there. They had their little tents. And then they'd go a hike. They'd go hiking along the bay. And they had a dog. And so, you know, it was just really neat. You see those kids and how they all grew up, and they grew up like wonderful young men. My brother was in it, too. So he remembers. He really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So tell me something. So many people now talk about Brisbane, and they talk about small-town feeling. That phrase comes up quite a bit. It's got a small-town feeling. So the small-town that you grew up in is far different than the small-town that we know what it is today, which is still a small town.
Yes.
But what does that mean to you, small town feeling?
Well, I would like it to be a gathering place. I would like for residents to really get to know each other. And, you know, there's so much today of materialism, and I'm so sick of hearing about build this, build that. And I think people need to enjoy themselves more. I would just like to see just an oasis in this Bay Area where people could just relax and enjoy themselves instead of worrying about all this materialism. Anyway, I'm old school.
So, you know, it's funny. My mother-in-law lives over off Monterey Boulevard, Westwood Park in San Francisco, and used to deliver the newspaper over there. And those houses are all in a row, all like one of the, maybe the first track neighborhood, you know, like in the 20s, built in the 20s. I look at now as a real estate broker, I look at the way the house is structured and the big living rooms with the big buffets, you know. And I think back then in the 20s and 30s, no TV, no, you know, just the radio. And what do these people do? They probably all had a lot of dinner parties. They probably did a lot of drinking. They probably went over to each other's houses, which is kind of like my neighborhood, my little neighborhood where I'm up on Humboldt. Everybody comes over to each other's houses all the time. We're always getting together and doing something. But I think now with social media and everything, everybody feels like they're connected, but they're not as connected as they could be. And for me, I think that you think about small town feel or people worried about it getting bigger or too big too fast. Is I think when the main thing might be that they're not worried about so much the physical nature of the town getting bigger, but the loss of feeling like they belong.
Could be.
You know, like they have a place in the community that I think that in Brisbane, it's pretty special because it's not hard to contribute and be part of the community and feel like you belong, like you have a place. That's the one thing I think people worry about that maybe not, they don't say it that way, but I think it's part of it.
Well, maybe if I tell you a little bit about the volunteer fire department, that maybe I could create a little picture of small town there. There was volunteer fire department in Brisbane, and they were really the focal part of town. They were the movers and the shakers. They had their social life, social parties all the time. They did things for us kids. And if something needed to be done, they did it. And in fact, in the book, I tell about how they built their own first fire truck. And their uniforms came from the Salvation Army. But
oh, yeah.
They were proud people. And I think the residents were here that were here at the time, they just loved them all. And I think they depended on them. And it was a closeness that I don't think that you can get any other way. Not by being a politician or anything. These people just worked their butts off for everything. And it's funny because even in there, they had their clique, like some people had to wash hoses, other people were the big shots. But anyway, they were all good people. That's all I have to say.
To confirm that from my perspective, I guess it was probably 83, 84, might have been right after we moved in. 3 o'clock in the morning, three, maybe four in the morning. And we lived over on San Benito, kind of by the fire station. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night,
whap, whap, whap.
I jumped out of bed. I thought the world was ending. I thought this was it. They're dropping the big one. And at the same time, I saw outside the window a big ball of fire. And I flipped open the window. And actually, it was coming from up on the hill that the house was just engulfed in flames. Like, it was fully engulfed in flames. I got on my motorcycle and went up there. And the volunteer fire department came. Standing there, it was like, Joe, go over there, and hey, John, do this, and yeah, and go behind so-and-so's house, and I was in awe of how much everybody knew each other, and whose houses were whose, and I felt so I was just in a different place, and I have a couple of experiences like that before they folded into the other incarnation of the fire department.
Maybe that was Mahaffey's house up on the hill that you saw that time.
I think it was on King's. It was the King's house. It was the Carnes, Virgil.
Oh, Virgil Carnes. Oh, yeah, I remember. I don't know. It was just a different time, different era, I guess. Maybe it'll never happen again. But I'm glad that I experienced what I did here. I was really young, but it created a closeness that I felt even as a child. My father really loved it because his father was a volunteer fire department. And so that's how he got involved.
Now you have all these organizations in town to get involved with, to make a difference, like Helping Hands or Brisbane Dance Workshop or the Lions Club. And community happens all over in these places. Downstairs in the coffee house, Madhouse Coffee, there's guys that show up every day. They talk. They solve the world's problems. I mean, every day. It's their community. So some of them are Lions Club members. So there's all these intersecting circles, I think, that make up the fabric of the whole overall town. And as long as we have that and people can join in and be part of something, I think we still have a community no matter how big it gets.
I think that's really important. Remember Flo and Carol's?
Uh-huh.
That's what the guys used to do down there.
I used to be one of those guys. I was there because at the time I wasn't working. I was before real estate.
Oh.
And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was my day off. Yeah. I'd go in there and have breakfast at the long table.
Uh-huh.
And they'd talk about everything.
Yeah.
That place was real special.
Eddie and Johnny and the rest of them all used to be there. Yeah.
JP cooking, talking sports, and yeah, the two girls serving food and the mom's cooking.
And then, you know, even at the Eagles in the morning, they have some of them there have their little coffee klatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's really nice. I mean, how many people do that nowadays? How many people take the time or have the place to meet like that to do it, you know, unless it's in a small neighborhood somewhere?
Yeah. So those places, I don't think you're going to go anywhere anytime soon. And people can get away from their computers and off their heads out of their cell phones. They can meet their neighbors. They can have that feeling.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm glad that you came in. I think we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
And maybe this won't be the last time that we get together and chat about Brisbane and times past. I really enjoyed talking with you, and I want to thank you again for coming in.
Well, I thank you. All righty.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Coffee to Close. Coffee to Close is a fundraiser for our local nonprofits and charities in Brisbane. And I will be donating $100 per episode to one of the charities or nonprofits in town. Coffee to Close is also sponsored by Davis & Company Real Estate. You can find us at rondavis.com and Madhouse Coffee, which is madhousecoffee.com. Both are located in Uptown Brisbane at the top of the main business district on Visitation Avenue at 400 Visitation. Come pay us a visit. We'd love to see you.